Happy Thanksgiving. The best in class is on with Joe Bucks fan draft guru Sean Sullivan. He's taking a hard look at the state of the Buccaneers, but of course, he's looking back at all the Week 12 games, focusing on young players, rookies, all those guys you forgot about in the NFL draft. Sean's all over it. Enjoy. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. I don't know what to say. I'm going to do this podcast. I'm in like mourning for that terrible, terrible football game, and we're going to get into that, and we're going to get into detail, and then we're going to shoot right through the NFL. We're going to do 30 minutes right before the holidays. But first, I want to talk about this Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. It's a huge day in the car business. We have rebates and incentives and gift cards for Christmas up to $1,000, $2,000 for active military or first responders you get just for buying a vehicle to help out with your Christmas spending. We have delayed payments until next year. I've delayed 6 months payments for anyone who was affected by the government closed down. That would include MacDill Air Force Base and any of our first responders that had any issues. We are there for you. We are there for our community. And that's BillCurryFord.com. Please visit us. See all of our amazing specials. The used car slasher price that we have going on. We have cars starting at $1 this Saturday and Sunday. Amazing stuff going on. Black Friday weekend, huge deal. Listen, there's just too much to go through between mobile slasher sales, cars starting at $1, payments for 6 months, thousands of dollars in gift cards for Christmas. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Just come down to Bill Curry Ford. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com and see all of our amazing specials. Follow us at all the social media sites. We're going to have everything on social media for you to see. So there you go. Bucks Rams, right? Rams scored 31 points in the first half. We scored 7. I want to send a special shout out to a very special coach of the Rams. McVay absolutely showed mercy and pity, and he felt sorry for us, and he turned their offense off because Stafford completed 12 straight passes for 2 touchdowns. They were moving the ball left and right. We had 5-yard cushions between each receiver and our defensive back. Our defensive backs can't guard anybody. I think I could catch a ball on any of our defensive backs right now. This soft zone thing that they play, the lack of a pass rush, and then our best pass rusher, right after his sack on second down, drops back into coverage, and we give up a 19-yard pass play right in front of the corner. It's just so frustrating to see such a poor performance. I literally turned it off at halftime. I once Baker got hurt, like, I want to support our team, but I also know that my headspace, I've got to stay positive. I can't like dive into this negative headspace, but this is the old Bucks. This is what Mike Smith did to our defense. This defense is the absolute worst. I did a Todd Bowles, you know, retrospective. Besides 2023, his defenses for the Bucks pass defense has been 20th or worse in the NFL. He's had one season, guys, where the pass defense was better than 20th in the NFL. Our overall defense is absolute garbage. You know, our scheme is this. We have no outside pass rush. We are going to be 5 yards off the wide receiver. How many times did you see their wide receivers running wide open? Like, there's just no words. And then on offense, when you look at our wide receivers, they were blanketed over and over and over again. I've rewatched the game in the first half. Nobody's getting open. The defensive backs are on top of us, like literally it's sharing the same jersey with us. We can't get open, but yet on the other side, they're running 5 yards wide open. It boggles my mind. And we can sit there and say that it's Todd Bowles, that players have to execute, whatever, whatever. The scheme is absolute garbage. The scheme that Todd Bowles plays, where he plays like, listen, we're gonna clog up the throwing lanes with our outside linebackers. We're gonna drop them into coverage. We're gonna try to create turnovers. We're gonna blitz from our nickel and our safeties and sometimes our linebackers. We're gonna confuse. Matthew Stafford was not confused at all. I want you to think about the Kirk Cousins 506 game where we let him stand in the same spot and throw for 506 yards. Right? It's the same defense. No one is fooled anymore by our exotic blitzes. They're picking Stafford picked him up like a children's game. It was They were in such a different level than us. It was embarrassing. And Todd Bowles had this look of like a deer in headlights look, where he had no idea what was happening. And then everybody got on Todd Bowles for going for it in our own territory. Listen, he knew the game was over, guys. He was trying to give our offense a spark that it needed, right? I'm not blaming Todd Bowles for that call, because he saw what I saw: obliteration. They could have hung 60 on us without any problem whatsoever. Thank God that McVay just basically said, we're just going to run the ball in the second half, where they scored a field goal, right? They could have hung 70, I mean, maybe 80 points. I don't even know. We had no answers whatsoever. Nobody gets near the quarterback. Nobody makes Matt Stafford uncomfortable. Our cornerbacks decided they're going to play 5 and 10 years off. I've seen this movie for so many years now. I'm done watching this movie. Like, when the reason why Todd Bowles has been successful head coach is because of Tom Brady and Baker Mayfield. This is why. He's had offenses that have bailed him out and bailed him out and bailed him out and bailed him out and bailed him out. I don't mind Todd Bowles as a head coach. It's time for him to hang up the defensive play calling. He needs to absolutely give that up and just manage the football game. I like him as a leader. I like him as a person. I think that he's good for Tampa. I think he's just a really good head coach. I really do. Even after this game, I do not believe that he's a good defensive coordinator anymore. It's past him. We need to get somebody in there that will bring in, and you know, this is a whole Jason Light conversation. Listen, Jason Light went on basically saying that there were players that taken off our board, and this is just a guess on my part, but there's pass rushers that he probably took off of his board that, you know, that aren't nice people. Pass rushers like Myles Garrett, right? Pass rushers are not nice people. They're crazy people like Jason Pierre-Paul. They are eclectic people. They are not terrific teammates. They are not going to be terrific locker room people, but they get the job done, right? Jason Light needs to understand having a team of Boy Scouts is terrific, but there are some times where you need somebody that's not a Boy Scout. There are some times when you just need somebody like, I don't know, for instance, a guy like Walter Nolan, you know, that I talked about before the draft. Unfortunately, he's had some injury concerns, but he was a beast in college. And then you have Pierce for Atlanta. You have Walker in Atlanta, and we're going to talk about them. They're disruptors. They're destroying the game. Pierce just had 2 sacks in the game, and he disrupted the game. At one point, the Atlanta Falcons had the number one defense in the NFL. They're getting to the quarterback. Now, their offense is killing them, but let me just tell you, that's why their record's not good. It's not because of that defensive line. They're getting pressure. Somebody like Pierce would never make it on the Bucs because he would never pass the Jason Light test, and I understand what Jason Light's doing. I understand that he wants a good locker room. I understand that he wants good people in his locker room, and he wants them to represent Tampa, and he wants them to represent the Glazers. Make no mistake, I understand, okay? I get it. But you got to have some glass eaters on this team. You got to have a couple, and you're just going to have to trust that the captains you have on this team and the locker room will handle the problems. New England was the only team that tamed Randy Moss. The guy had 15 or 50. He was part of the 50 touchdowns from Tom Brady. Randy Moss had an incredible season, his best season as a pro in New England, right? And they all said, oh, he's going to ruin the locker room. No, the locker room handled Randy Moss. That's how that worked, right? What I'm saying is, have faith in your team, have faith in your leadership, that they can have these guys perform on the field, but also in the locker room not be a distraction like Antonio Brown. I would have post-traumatic stress disorder over Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's little sideline crap cost us another Super Bowl. We all know it in Tampa. Jason Light knows it. Everybody knows it. It sucked. It is what it is. It doesn't mean you stop trying. It doesn't mean that we don't try to get some. I don't know what to say, very talented, not nice people on our team. I would like somebody to hit somebody. Like, I'm watching this game. We're like this finesse team with the Rams. The Rams are mowing us down. Like, they were beating us up, pushing us to the ground, hitting us. We were doing nothing. We had no fight whatsoever. Baker Mayfield is running around trying to make plays. He's injured. The guy knows that we need a first down. He takes on two defenders, gets his shoulder hurt, trying to get us a first down because he's trying to will us to the win. And then what do? We do a play call where we call a Hail Mary with a guy that's had an oblique injury since before the break, and we know he hurt his shoulder, and we're going to have him throw a Hail Mary that went, what, 40 yards? You want to know, it just, that call right there means, like, what are we doing? Like, why are we not smarter than this? You don't make that call. You don't injure him further. Not to mention the fact Teddy Bridgewater looks like he should be in commercials and not on the football field. My goodness. He looks like a coach that suited up and went onto the field. He doesn't even look like a player, right? He doesn't move. The balls are floating around. He's got no arm strength. He had played with zero energy. I mean, he brought nothing to the table. Nothing. And this is not a Kyle Trask conversation. I don't care if it's Kyle Trask, but I'm going to tell you right now, Mac Jones is having a sensational season as a backup. Marcus Mariota has won games for Washington, right? It drives me crazy when there are backup QBs right now. Arizona is starting a backup QB against us with Brissett, and they're saying he's going to be the starter, right, moving forward. There are backup quarterbacks winning games in the NFL that are making impact on these games, and yet we decided for some reason to take Kyle Trask out, which, forget Kyle Trask. I don't care. I don't care who that widget is, but there are widgets out there that would have done terrific job for us as a backup QB. They exist. They're out there. We don't care about the position. We don't care about pass rush at all. We had an opportunity at the trade deadline to trade for, I don't know, let's just say Phillips. The guy just goes on and he's just sacking quarterbacks and making tremendous differences. We had a chance to sign Smith off the street. I actually was on the IRA podcast and saying, hey, there's two Smiths out there that are on the street waiting to sign that are proven pass rushers in a 3-4 defense. Well, we don't sign either. He signs with the Packers. And then, of course, he's got like 6.5 sacks or 7.5 sacks. He would lead the Bucks in sacks right now, and he cost us no draft picks. We would have signed him off the street. We don't even bring these guys in for a cup of coffee to look at them. It's just frustrating. It's frustrating. The play calling from Grizzard, I'm sorry. I'm not going to jump on the fire Grizzard bandwagon. It's absolutely ridiculous. The wide receivers can't get open. These guys can't get separation. They double-teamed Amika. There was nothing he was going to be able to do. Sterling Shepard can't get open. Tez Johnson can get open in space, but it has to be schemed open. He's not getting open on his own. Otten is like trying to make fetch happen. Enough with the Otten stuff. Enough. Defensive backs who weigh 160 pounds are ripping the ball out of his hand, right? He is a backup tight end in the NFL. This is why I went on the Ira podcast and said, can we please trade for a starting tight end? Because I think that would have made the most impact for our team, because I knew they weren't going to trade for a pass rusher. But they could have traded for a tight end that can catch the ball out of the backfield and can stretch the field. They're out there. We could have got them. They were on the trade block. Stop trying to make K-Dotten work. Please stop. All right? He is not a star pass catcher in the NFL. He's not even a terrific blocker. He's a okay tight end. Enough with this stuff, okay? He costs us games. He doesn't secure the ball. It makes me worry every time he gets tackled because the ball's going to get stripped from him. That's not his game. That's not what he does, right? The tight end has made such an impact between Sam Laporta. Obviously, there's the big ones like Kelce and all that. So, but now you have Brock Bowers in there. You got Myers in there. You got Theo Johnson for the Giants in there. You got Ferguson for the Steelers. They got a backup in Washington that can also make a difference in the game. They're everywhere. The tight ends are now such an important part of the game. Now you have one of my favorite guys, Tyler Warren, is playing for the Colts. The Colts are going to the playoffs. Tyler Warren's their best player on offense besides their running back, obviously, who's having what I think might be an MVP season. But Tyler Warren is a sensational player. Loveland for the Chicago Bears is coming into his own. He's catching four balls a game. He's catching touchdowns for the Chicago Bears. Listen, get a tight end, okay, that can catch the ball, secure the ball, because the other team's not even guarding him half the time. That's why Baker's trying to force the ball to him. And getting back to Rizard, these under throws that he's doing, it's because that's the only time we can get space to get the ball to him. They're not getting open past the line of scrimmage. He's throwing 4 and 5 yard passes because, one, the offensive line can't block, and two, they're not getting open. There's no Mike Evans drawing the double team here, guys. There's Godwin is a shell of himself. Jason Light's going to have to figure that out. He's going to have to answer why we gave this guy all this guaranteed money if he's I mean, we're week 13 and he's contributed nothing to this year. Nothing to this team. Now, in the past, yes, he's a terrific person and a terrific wide receiver. Not since the injury. So we lost him last year and we've lost him this year so far, and we guaranteed him 25 or whatever $1 million it is. The Pats tried to take him. I don't even know. And then you sign a corner to a $45 million deal, and he's getting burned left and right all year. There's just a lot of things where we need to get better. We need to get refocused on getting some glass eaters in here, some guys that are gonna make a difference, cause a ruckus a little bit, get after the quarterback, be physical. And what's going on with the offensive line? Even our good offensive line players are playing terrible. Wirfs had a terrible game. Barton had a terrible game. I mean, for goodness sakes, man, the Rams were just running stunts, right? And we couldn't handle simple stunts. It's just ridiculous. But again, that's not on Grizzard. He hasn't even had an offensive line and a full wide receiver complement. He's been without Bucky. I feel like Baker's doing the best he can. Baker's been playing hurt. I have no idea what we're going to do if he doesn't start against the Arizona Cardinals, because we're going to get blown out by the Cardinals. This team, I don't know if they have the answers. I really don't. They've got to get healthy. And then once they're healthy, I think we could reevaluate it. But the way this season's going, it's just one of those seasons where we're going to lose it because of depth, and we're going to lose it because of pass rush. I talked all off season about pass rush. I've talked all season about pass rush. We produce sacks, just like Iris says. We produce sacks through deception. I don't care. I want the guy that lines up on the outside and beats the man in front of him and gets to the quarterback. You're in a passing league. We're in a passing league, right? With no pass rushers. Yaya Diaby is not a star pass rusher, guys. He's an average player at best. He's not a star player. The only reason why we look at him is because he has 5 sacks and we're like, oh, well, he's the best we got. Well, that's true, but what would Yaya be on another team? Would he be their star player? No, he would not, right? Stop trying to make fetch happen. It just is what it is. I'm done. I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's just a sad performance from a beaten up football team who looks completely outcoached. Again, Todd Bowles, give up your defensive coaching. Stay our head coach. Give that up to somebody. Let them take that over. Let's get people healthy for Grizzard so we can actually see his offense work before we make a thing. But again, this offense is not going to bail him out right now, Todd Bowles. And I'm saying Todd Bowles has a job because of Brady and because of Baker. It isn't because of his defense. And he needs to look himself in the mirror and say, I'm going to give this up because I'm a better head coach than I am a defensive coordinator. And I truly believe that. Right? Moving on. So frustrating. Bills and Texans, right? The Texans won this game 23-19. The Bills, who blew the Bucks, I mean, who basically murdered us for, I mean, I don't even remember how many points they scored. They sacked Josh Allen 8 times. They made him look pedestrian. They made him look like a little boy playing football. It was a joke. He threw 2 picks. He didn't want to play anymore, right? So Josh Allen, they scored 19 points. What did they put up, 40 against the Bucks? I don't even know. The Houston Texans, guess what they have? They have pass rushers. For goodness sakes, they get after you. They hit you. They signed Hunter. Guess what they did? They drafted another guy in the first round who's been spectacular at Alabama. They don't stop coming after you. They're relentless. They beat you up, right? The Texans have not had good quarterback play all season, but yet they're now 6-5 after beating this Bills team, and they're going to make the playoffs, and C.J. Stroud's coming back from concussion. Speaking of some of their weapons, Jaden Higgins had a really terrific impact. He had an 8-yard key touchdown reception before the half to give Houston the lead in this. He's been terrific for them. He was one of the receivers they drafted. Jalen Reed, the safety, the sixth round safety, again, having only one start in his career, he had 12 total tackles and a fumble recovery in this game. So between Jaden Higgins and Jalen Reed, they had solid games for the Texans. But getting back to the fact that they physically dominated Josh Allen, he was harassed all day. They got to him 8 times. That's not even counting the ones they didn't get. I'm telling you, they beat this guy up. That's what I want. Moving on to the Steelers and Bears. The Bears won this game 31-28. Caleb Williams, last year's number one pick, threw for 3 touchdowns. Caleb Williams is having a spectacular season. Statistically, he's going to be the all-time leading passer. He's going to break the Chicago Bears touchdown in a season for sure. He might beat their completion percentage as well. He's really coming into his own. We get to watch him play on Friday against the Eagles. That's going to be a terrific game. The Bears are 8-3. The Bears, who won 4 games last year, are 8-3. Just let that sink in. And they haven't just played nobodies, right? Kyle Manage, this running back, 7th round pick, unbelievable physical running back, had 48 yards and a touchdown. He's had his 3rd consecutive touchdown in a game, has not been a Bears rookie since Walter Payton in 1975. That's pretty incredible, right? Colston Loveland, a guy, tight end that I talked about earlier when I was talking about the Bucs, out of Michigan, has been wonderful for them. He had 4 catches for 49 yards and another touchdown. He has really filled into that Ben Johnson, Sam Laporta role for the Bears. Ozzie Chipio, the offensive tackle, he made his first start at left tackle. Really, really good in this game. He only gave up 1 pass rush in this entire game. Luther Burden, the 3rd, a wide receiver that fell out of the first round, that had first round talent, had 3 catches for 46 yards. He also had an end around for 15 yards. This guy is slowly showcasing. I think he's just getting used to the playbook, but he's showcasing his physical ability. Keep an eye on Luther Burden. I think he's a guy that kind of flies under the radar with all the wide receivers. I think he's going to be very, very good for the Chicago Bears. Pats and Bengals. Pats pulled this out with Drake May, 26-20. Drake May, a star from last year's QB class, 294, a touchdown, a rushing touchdown. Terrific. The Cincinnati Bengals had this drafted several linebackers, off-the-ball linebackers. Barrett Carter was one. He had 16 total tackles, 8 solo tackles in the game, which tied 4th most by a Bengal since 1994. It was the 2nd most by a Bengal ever. And his impact play earned him nomination for NFL Pepsi Zero Sugar Rookie of the Week. Drake May, we just talked about. Trayvon Henderson out of Ohio State has been the primary star running back for New England ever since the Bucs game. I told everybody this guy was good, right? His speed, he runs a 4.3. He's physical. He had 18 carries for 66 rushing yards. Last week, he had 3 touchdowns rushing the ball against the Bucs. He had 2 rushing touchdowns, as you know, against the Bucs. He's really coming into his own. Will Campbell, the first-round offensive tackle, was carted off the field with a major injury. I feel terrible about that. He's played extremely well for the Pats. Giants and Lions. Lions won 34-27. Jameis, our boy Jameis, 386 yards and 2 TDs and 1 interception. He caught a TD too. He played so well. I wanted him to win so bad in this game. But of course, Jahmyr Gibbs, a guy that I wanted the Bucs to draft, had 15 carries, 219 yards and 2 TDs. Jahmyr Gibbs is a superstar. That is what it is. Darius Alexander, a defensive lineman that was actually linked to the Bucs on several occasions. Todd Bowles brought him in for a visit. He had another strong showing. He had 2 sacks and 4 total tackles. In this game, was an absolute difference maker. Tate Ratledge, the offensive guard for the Lions, has been playing extremely well. Jackson Dart, who everyone knows is out with concussion protocol, will probably win Offensive Rookie of the Year just because quarterbacks usually win, and he's been sensational when he's playing. I think he's back this week. Packers won 23-6 over the Vikings. The J.J. McCarthy experiment has hit a wall. He's playing really, really bad football. So we'll see what happens with there. The Packers, Jordan Love, again, had a mundane game at 14 of 21 for 139 yards. This whole thing about how great Jordan Love is, I just don't get it. The Green Bay Packers are a good football team at 7-3. I just don't think that Love makes that much of a difference. Warren Brinson, the defensive lineman, had a breakout performance for the Packers. He had 5 pressures on just 15 pass rushing snaps. He also recorded 0.5 a sack, and he's been playing extremely well. Evan Williams, the safety, he sealed the game for the Packers with an interception of J.J. McCarthy to end the game, which is pretty interesting. For the Vikings, they had one rookie that really contributed, which was their rookie kicker. I don't want to talk about kickers. Sea Chickens and the Titans. The Sea Chickens won this game 30-24 over Tennessee. As you know, Cam Ward, the first overall pick, had his best game as a pro. He completed 28 of 42 for 256 and a touchdown and no interceptions. He also rushed for 37 yards and another touchdown. I really like the way he's playing. I've really liked Cam Ward. I think he's the most quiet, underrated first overall pick ever in the history of the NFL. No one talks about this guy. He was the number one overall pick. It's just kind of crazy when you think about this. My former Gator, Tamiri DK, has been an incredible offensive weapon. He returned a 90-yard touchdown on a punt return and added a second touchdown later in the game on a reception. He had five catches for 44 yards. This guy is a special teams wide receiver star. DK. Love the guy. He's a favorite of Cam Ward. We'll see how that goes. Marcus Harris, a corner for the Titans on defense, was a six-round pick. He had a really terrific game. No, he didn't give up a catch. And Kevin Winston Jr., another safety rookie, they had led the team with 10 total tackles. So congratulations on that. Colts, Chiefs. The Chiefs pulled this game out 23-20. This is a game the Chiefs had to have to stay in the playoff hunt. The Colts fell to 8-3. Tyler Warren, if it wasn't for Dart, I just don't know how you don't just hand him all the awards. He had five catches for 45 yards. He's been a tremendous blocker. He's on pace to be a 1,000-yard wide receiver from the tight end, which is extremely rare. It'll be the first in Colts history. Latu, last year's first-round pick, is coming into his own. He had six pressures, and he intercepted Patrick Mahomes, also had a sack. So, again, he's developing. But getting back to Tyler Warren, what an amazing player he is, and what a big, awesome find for the Colts. Jets-Ravens, Jets lost again 23-10 to the Ravens. The switch from Justin Fields really didn't do anything because maybe the Jets realized they don't have any offensive talent to really help the quarterback position. So, again, Garrett Wilson was out of this game, which was their only wide receiver. They really have nobody else. Maybe somebody at the Jets will have a brain and realize, hey, maybe you don't have wide receivers and playmakers for your quarterback, and your quarterback can't do everything. So Tyrod Taylor ended up with 222 yards passing. That's it. Mike Green, the star of the Senior Bowl, again for the Ravens, had a strong defensive effort. Again, he's getting pressures. He had a half a sack in the game, but he's constantly in the backfield making plays, rerouting running backs. I think Mike Green is just, his name gets called a lot. I think he's going to be a tremendous player for the Ravens. Amon Mimbu, the offensive tackle for the Jets, first-round pick at left tackle. He's been steady at that left tackle. Looks like the Jets finally figured out something on their offensive line. LaJonte Wester, the guy that I interviewed at the Combine, about his special teams ability, who just is one of the best returners. Besides DK, he might be the best returner in the NFL. Congratulations to LaJonte Wester. He found a spot with the Ravens. Browns and Raiders. This is the Shedeur Sanders game. Again, they won 24-10. I'm not going to get overly crazy about Shedeur, but he did throw for a touchdown, two touchdowns in the game, actually. One of the touchdowns was called back. They gave him on the 1 yard line, but it was definitely a touchdown. He definitely threw for two touchdowns, but who cares? For the Raiders, Ashon Dente continues to be terrific. He was nominated for the Pepsi Zero Rookie of the Week. He had 108 total scrimmage yards. He had his eighth touchdown. He's really, really hard to get to the ground. So congratulations on that. But let's talk about. I understand that Frank, who's this big Raiders fan, he listens to the podcast. We just had a discussion about the Raiders need to draft a quarterback. They have Brock Bowers. They have Gente now. They have Max Crosby. I mean, you have some guys on that team, but they really need to get a top wide receiver, and they need to get a star quarterback. They're going to have the draft picks to do it. We'll see what happens there. Dylan Sampson, the rookie, had a 66-yard explosive touchdown screen pass from Sanders. He had 82 all-purpose yards. That was really good. Shedeur, like I said, I thought he was okay, but he was the first Browns rookie to win since 1995. His first start, 26 years, which is pretty crazy. Junkins went out with an injury, but he had 47 yards and scored two rushing touchdowns in the game early. I like this little wildcat they run with Junkins, who was a first-round draft pick out of Ohio State. I love how they take the quarterback out. They hike the ball to him. They let him find his lanes, and then he basically runs it into the end zone. I really think that's an interesting goal line play. It worked twice for them. Carson Swethinger, the linebacker out of UCLA, has been the best linebacker in football, in my opinion. I think he's a shoo-in for Defensive Rookie of the Year. He had 11 more total tackles. He leads the team in tackles. The guy's just a machine. I really think if you haven't watched him play, he fits what the Browns are doing tremendously. Liam Cohen's Jacksonville Jaguars are now 7-4 after beating the Cardinals 27-24. Congratulations to Liam Cohen. Walter Nolan, a guy that I really loved in the first round, was the most impactful in this game. He had recovered a fumble. He had a sack. He returned it 7 yards for a defensive touchdown. He was highly effective. He exited the game with a strained knee, so I'm hoping he's going to be okay. Brenton Strange, tight end from Jacksonville, he had a career-high 93 yards on 5 catches, including a 30-yard reception. Parker Washington caught 5 passes for 71 yards and a touchdown. Jacksonville's missing some pieces right now. Last year's first-round draft pick out of LSU has had a difficult time getting back on the field, but we'll see how that goes. But Liam Cohen continues to win, a 7-4 record for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Congratulations to him. Eagles, Cowboys won 24-21. They were down 21-0, came back in this game. Javonte Williams had 20 carries for 87 yards. Dak Prescott passed for 354 and 2 TDs, which is but the George Pickens signing really has helped them. 9 receptions, 146 yards, and a TD has really helped the Cowboys get back to 500. I love it every time the Eagles lose. The Eagles play the Bears on Friday, which is interesting. Tyler Booker, the offensive guard, first-round draft pick of Dallas, has been played extremely, extremely well for them. Elijah Clark, the safety, he's an unheralded, undrafted rookie. He has been terrific on defense for Dallas, and he held the Eagles scoreless for the final 48 minutes of the game from that safety position. He didn't give up a catch. Donovan Iziruku, the defensive end out of Boston College, who was linked as a pass rusher to the Bucs. Of course, we linked all these pass rushers to the Bucs, but they drafted none of them. You know, he had another solid game. He played the run really well, which Todd Bowles would really like because that was the knock of him coming out. He's getting some really terrific pass rushing moves, but again, he's learning to play the position. Getting to the Falcons and the Saints, the Falcons beat the Saints 24-10. I'm going to make this about James Pierce Jr. James Pierce Jr. is a guy that I loved coming out. I talked about him at length as a pass rusher. I talked about length as a defensive star coming out, and then he fell in the draft because of probably some interviews. Some people took him off the board. But, again, he had 2 sacks in the game. He's recording his third consecutive sack in his third consecutive game with at least 1 sack. He's really coming into his own. He's been unbelievable. Walker also contributed with another sack, and he had several tackles for loss. He's extremely fast. Between these two guys, the Atlanta Falcons has revolutionized their pass rush. Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame, the safety that we talked about at length, had a game-ending interception for the Falcons. Tyler Shuck, the Saints rookie quarterback, was 30 of 43 for 243. He threw an interception and had no touchdowns. Devin Neal, the running back out of Kansas for the Saints, caught 5 passes for 43 yards, setting career highs in both receptions and receiving yards. Panthers, 49ers. 49ers blew the Panthers out 20-9. Again, Mac Jones didn't play in this game. Brock Purdy played, had 3 interceptions, played terrible in this game. There might be, even though they signed him to a $200 million deal, there might be a quarterback controversy happening in San Francisco before our eyes. T-Mac, the number one receiver drafted by the Panthers, had a 29-yard touchdown pass in the third quarter. He's been their number one target. Nick Scorton, the outside linebacker, off-the-ball linebacker for the Panthers, has been terrific for them, been very consistent. He has 3 sacks on the year. He had a forced fumble in this game and a tackle for loss. Upton Stout, the cornerback for the 49ers, had his best game as a pro. And Corey Thornton, another cornerback for the Panthers, was undrafted, but he's starting for the Panthers. I hope you guys enjoyed this wrap-up of the NFL. And I'm sorry about my rant on the Bucs, but it was just terrible. If Baker Mayfield doesn't play this week, I'm going to have a tough time watching the football game. I really am. I just can't watch the team play with no heart, no energy, no pass rush, no physicality. Special teams has been a problem all year. It continues to be a problem. We haven't fixed it. Our defensive backs play so far off the ball that they might as well be at Bill Curry Ford, which is 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. They might as well just be here during the game because that's how close they get to the wide receivers. It's very frustrating. Again, have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy football because football is a gift. please visit us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa. See all of our amazing Black Friday weekend sales. You guys are going to be so impressed, including our $2,000 credit card for any first responder, active military personnel, and a $1,000 gift card for anybody who just buys a car this weekend to finish the month. I'll see you guys next week. I'll be in Dallas for work, but I'll be trying to do my podcast from there. We'll see how the Bucks fare. You guys take care.